Rarely has mankind hesitated to eradicate the creatures that stand in the path of his conquest. Is it possible that our dark past might repeat itself when we begin the colonization of other worlds? If we find intelligent species, will we respect their right to live peacefully on their own world? Will we respect their right to exist? And two more questions. How will we know if the species is truly intelligent? And if we do, will it matter? Sci-Fi Radio presents an adaptation of Robert Silverberg's short story, Sundance. Tom Two Ribbons is an American Indian who has been sent into the stars to help ready a new world for colonization. Tom is a biologist. He's been married twice, but has no children. His great-grandfather died of alcoholism, and his grandfather was addicted to cheap hallucinogenics. His father compulsively visited memory editing parlors. Tom himself has tried them all. He recognizes in himself the need not to remember. And he is afraid of the ways that his ancestors used to erase the images that haunted them. Tom Two Ribbons, unlike his father and fathers before him, has yet to determine his own special mode of self-destruction. Tom is part of a mission that is eradicating the indigenous species of a world soon to be colonized by human agriculturalists. The species, known as the Eaters, are ecology wreckers, devourers of oxygen-liberating plants. They have to go.
Suppose the Eaters. Suppose. Just suppose.
But a seed of doubt has been planted in Tom Two Ribbons' mind.
Suppose. Just suppose.
Tom tries to believe that there is a difference between the eradication of the Plains Indians from the American prairie in the 19th century and what's happening here, now, on this new world. What's happening to the Eaters is more like what happened to the buffalo. At least, that is what Tom desperately wants to believe. But try as he might, the seed has been planted.
Today we liquidated 50,000 Eaters in Sector A. Herndon and I flew due east at sunrise with the green gray dawn at our backs. He and I sprayed the neural pellets over 1,000 hectares beyond the river. Beyond the river, where the Eaters have already been eradicated.
I'll get the juice flowers, Tom. You get the lunch ready, okay?
Sure. Pick the ripe ones, though.
Good food, Tom. Thank you.
But better juice flowers. I should thank you.
I've got a question for you, Tom.
What is it?
Oh, a thought is all, just a speculation.
Quit explaining, just ask the question.
All right, then, here it is. How would you feel about what we're doing out here if it turned out that the Eaters weren't just animal pests? That they were a people with language and rights and history.
But they aren't.
Well, suppose they were, though. I mean, just suppose that the Eaters were intelligent. And suppose that what we're doing...
They aren't intelligent, Herndon.
Hey, don't take this personally, Tom. It's just a hypothesis. But just suppose...
Just shut up. Don't make me any angrier than I already am. You might regret it.
All right, all right. Calm down. No offense, man.
Don't think about it. It amuses the son of a bitch to go after other people's vulnerabilities. Don't listen. Just sleep. What I need is sleep. Suppose the eaters. Suppose. Just suppose.
And so you sleep, darling. But all during the night, Herndon's remarks echo through your mind. And in your dreams, you swim through rivers of blood.
It's foolishness, Tom. You're in the midst of a feverish fantasy. You know the importance of eradicating the eaters before the settlers get here. They're just animals, and they aren't harmless. They're ecology wreckers, devourers of oxygen-liberating plants, and they have to go.
Besides, darling, a few have been saved for zoological study, but the rest must be destroyed.
Ritual extirpation of undesirable beings, the oldest story of them all. So let's not complicate our job here with moral qualms. Is that what you advise?
Don't worry, my love. The eaters don't even have blood.
What the eaters do have is a kind of lymph that permeates every tissue and transmits nourishment along the interfaces. Waste products go out the same way, osmotically. The beauty of their biology is that they allow for very neat extermination.
Within an hour after they ingest the pellets, the eater's life ceases.
In 2 hours, the eaters become a puddle. In 4, there's nothing left at all.
And considering how many millions of the things are scheduled for execution, it's a good thing they are self-disposing.
I need sleep. Please, God, help me. I need to get away from these thoughts.
Suppose the eaters. Suppose. Just suppose.
Damn you to hell, Herndon.
You're acting strange lately, Tom.
You certainly are.
Perhaps what you need is a memory editor.
Scrape those stupid memories out of your head, darling.
If you dared.
If you dared.
If you dared.
If I dared. But in the morning, I don't dare. Memory editing frightens me. There's a difference in the way they exterminated my people and what we're doing here. I can't go through the editing again. I can't keep destroying myself, piece by piece.
I think we've got a real problem here.
I know we do. No question in my mind.
I tell you, he's just...
Quiet. Here he comes.
Who sprays the pellets today?
Mike and Chang, Sector C.
11 more days and we ought to have the whole peninsula clear. Then we can move inland. That is, if the pellet supply lasts.
Did you sleep well last night, Tom?
No, I didn't, Herndon.
You look troubled, darling. Can I help you?
No. Thank you. I don't need any help.
I hate it when you get gloomy.
It's one of my many racial traits.
I don't believe that for 1 minute.
The truth is that my last personality reconstruct is wearing a bit thin. I'm just a walking veneer. A mere shell of a red man.
I doubt that very much.
Marry me?
Maybe. Later. Anyway, it's just a passing gloom. I can edit it for you with one quick snip.
I know you can. You're the best at it, Ellen. The very best. But no, thank you.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You don't like editing.
My father spent 50 years getting himself pared down to a thread. He had his ancestors edited away, his heritage, his religion, his wife, his sons, finally his name. Then he sat around and smiled all day. No. No editing, thank you.
Where are you working today?
In the compound, doing some behavioral studies.
Want some company? I'm off all morning.
No, I'd rather be alone.
All right, if that's what you want.
I'm sorry, Ellen. Maybe this afternoon, okay?
Okay, darling. You go be alone. Commune a while with your eaters.
Test 1, 2. Spherical, bulky, slow-moving creatures, covered by masses of coarse orange fur. Saucer-like eyes protruding above narrow, rubbery lips. Their legs are thin and scaly, and their arms are short and held close to their bodies. Hello, my brothers.
And the seed of doubt is planted. Tom Two Ribbons has begun to wonder. And now, things will never seem quite the same to Tom Two Ribbons as the seed of doubt begins to grow.
Today I noticed something strange. Perhaps I simply sniffed too much oxygen in the fields, or maybe I was succumbing to the suggestion Herndon planted. Possibly it's the family masochism cropping out. At any rate, while I was observing the eaters in the compound, it seemed that they were behaving intelligently, that they were functioning in a civilized manner. I followed them for 3 hours. During that time, they uncovered half a dozen outcroppings of oxygen plants. In each case, they went through a stylized pattern of action before starting to eat. First, they formed a straggly circle around the plants. Then they looked towards the sun. They looked toward their neighbors to the left and to the right around the circle. They made fuzzy, neighing sounds. They looked toward the sun again, then moved in and began to eat. If it wasn't a prayer of thanksgiving, a saying of grace, then what was it? And if they're advanced enough spiritually to say grace, are we not therefore committing genocide here? I understand that the eaters cannot coexist with human agriculturalists, but this is their world. The liquidation effort is predicated on the assumption that the intelligence level of the eaters is at a par somewhere between an oyster and a sheep. Mankind's conscience stays clear because our poison is quick and painless, and because the eaters thoughtfully dissolve upon dying, sparing us the mess of incinerating millions of corpses. But if they pray, I'll need more evidence before I speak to the others. Hard, objective evidence. Films, tapes, record cubes. What good it will do, I don't know. But at the very least, I can withdraw from the operation, head back to Earth, and try to stir up a public outcry. I hope, I pray, I'm not imagining this. No, I'm not. They gather in circles. They look to the sun. They neigh and pray. They're only balls of jelly on chicken legs, but they give thanks for their food. Their eyes stare accusingly at me. The tame herd knows what is going on. That mankind has descended from the stars to eradicate their kind, and that they alone will be spared. They know, and they hate us. Jesus, we have killed 2 million of them since we got here. I am stained with their blood. I must be careful, or I'll end up drugged and edited. I can't let myself appear to be an agitator. I have to find allies. Surely Herndon is onto the truth. He's the one who nudged me to it the day we dropped the pellets. I'll talk to him tonight.
I've been thinking about the suggestion you made, Herndon. About the Eaters. Perhaps we haven't made sufficiently close psychological studies of them. I mean, if they really are intelligent...
Who says they are, Tom?
You did. On the far side of the Forked River, you said...
What I said to you was a speculative hypothesis. I was just making conversation.
No, it was more than that. You believed it.
Don't start this, Tom. If for a moment I believed we were killing intelligent creatures, I'd run for an editor so fast I'd start an implosion wave.
Why did you ask me that, then?
Idle chatter, that's all.
Amusing yourself by kindling guilt in someone else? You bastard.
Look, Tom, if I had any idea, you'd get so worked up about a hypothetical suggestion. Look, the Eaters are not intelligent beings. Otherwise, we wouldn't be under orders to liquidate them, would we?
No, I don't know what Tom's up to, but I do know he needs a rest. It's only been a year and a half since his last personality reconstruct. The breakdown then was pretty bad.
He's refused three times in a row to make the pellet spraying run. Claims he can't take time away from his research.
What kind of research is he doing anyway?
Not biological. He's in the compound with the Eaters all the time, but I don't see him conducting any tests on them. He just watches them.
And talks to them.
About what?
Who knows?
Look, you're closest to him, Ellen. Can't you bring him out of this?
I've got to know what he's into first. I don't know what's the matter. He's just not saying a thing, nothing at all. Oh, you're wonderful, Tom. You're the best.
Liar.
No, it's true. You are.
And you are, too.
It's a gorgeous moon tonight. Want to walk with me?
Where?
Out in the compound.
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I don't feel like it.
All right, darling.
I don't want to hurt you, Ellen.
I know that.
There are things I just have to do my own way. Please, understand.
I'm trying. Just please be careful, darling. For me.
Hello, Tom.
Michaels.
What can I do for you?
Can I be spared for a few weeks?
What do you mean?
I've got some field studies to do. I'd like to leave the base and work with the Eaters in the wild.
What's wrong with the ones in the compound?
It's the last chance with the wild ones. Mike, please, I have to go.
Alone or with Ellen?
Alone.
All right, Tom. Whatever you want. Go. I won't hold you here.
Dance in the prairie under the green gray sun. About me, the Eaters gather. I am stripped naked. The sweat makes my skin glisten. My heart is pounding. I talk to them with my feet. I dance for them. I dance, and they understand. They have a language of soft sounds. They have a god. They know love and awe. And rapture. They have rights. They have names. They have a history. How can I reach them? With my feet, with my hands, with my grunts, with my sweat. They gather round me by the thousands, and I dance for them. I must not stop. I cannot. I will not. Thank you.
I am your friend. Trust me. Talk to me. Teach me. Let me preserve your ways, for soon the destruction will come. And the eaters murmur softly. I dance towards the chief. Back, forward. I bow and point toward the sun. I imagine the being who lives in that ball of flame. I imitate the sound of these people. I kneel, I rise, I dance. And now they dance too. They feel the power that flows from me. Slowly, uncertainly, they move toward me. They shift their weight, lift leg and leg. Sway about. Dance, my brothers, as tongue to ribbons dances for you. We move in holy frenzy. They sing for me a blurred hymn of joy. They throw forth their arms, unclench their little claws. In unison, they shift their weight. Left foot forward, right, left, right. Dance, my brothers, dance. Now, gently, they thrust me across the field to a part of the meadow where the grass is deep and untrampled. Still dancing, they seek the oxygen plants and find clumps of them beneath the grass. They make prayers and seize the plants with their awkward arms. In anguish, the plants release floods of oxygen. My mind reels. I laugh and sing. The eaters thrust their plants toward me. It is a religious ceremony that I am witness to. Take from us. Eat with us. Join with us. This is the body. This is the blood. Take. Eat. Join. I bend forward toward the lemon-colored globe. I do not bite. I nibble as they do, my teeth slicing away the skin of the plant. Juice spurts into my mouth as the oxygen drenches my nostrils. The eaters sing hosannas. Take, eat, join. The juice of the oxygen plant flows in my blood. I embrace my brothers. I sing and dance. The eaters crowd closer. The scent of their bodies is sweet and fiery red to me. Their soft cries are like puffs of steam. The thick grass hums to me, deep and rich, as the wind hurls points of flame across the prairie. I devour another oxygen plant, and another, as my brothers laugh and sing to me. They tell me of their gods, the god of warmth, the god of food, the god of pleasure, the god of death, the god of holiness, the god of wrongness. They tell me of their history and their holy rites. I must remember for them, for when it is gone, it will never come again. I dance as they sing to me in voices that are like splashes of green mold against the clean sheet of the sky. I dance, they dance, we sing.
Thank you. No! Can't you see?
Do not understand. There is no way to prevent it. The eaters devour the pellets, twitch a moment, then die and dissolve. In a twilight of protoplasm, they vanish into the soil from which they came. They are gone now. For hours I walked the prairie, alone. I inhale the oxygen. I eat the lemon-covered gloves. The winds roar in the distance. Silence comes. Night falls. I dance. I am alone.
It's time to go in, Tom.
I have so much to tell you. What we do here is wrong.
We'll listen, darling. But now it's time to go back in.
We never learn anything, do we? We export all our horrors to the stars. Wipe out the Armenians. Wipe out the Jews. Wipe out the Tasmanians. Wipe out the Indians. Wipe out everyone who's in the way. Then come out here and do the same damned murderous thing to the eaters. You weren't with me out there. You didn't dance with them. You didn't see what a rich, complex culture they have. Let me tell you about their tribal structure. It's extremely dense. 7 layers of matrimonial relationships to begin with. And an exogamy factor that requires...
Tom, darling, no one is going to harm the eaters.
And the religion... 9 gods, each one an aspect of the one god. They have hymns, prayers, a theology. And we, the emissaries of the god of wrongness, we come here...
We're not exterminating them, Tom. Won't you understand that? This is all just a fantasy of yours. You've been under the influence of drugs, but now we're cleaning you out. You're going to be all right in a while. You'll have perspective again.
A fantasy? A drug dream. I stood out in the prairie and watched you drop the pellets, and I watched them die and melt away. I didn't dream that.
How can we convince you? What will make you believe? Shall we fly over the eater country with you and show you how many millions there are?
But how many millions have been destroyed?
Darling, no one has ever wanted to hurt the eaters. This is a scientific expedition. We're here to study them. It's a violation of all we stand for to injure intelligent life forms.
You admit that they're intelligent?
Of course. That's never been in doubt.
Then why drop the pellets? Why slaughter them?
None of that has happened, Tom. Please believe me. Believe us.
If you want me to believe you, why don't you do the job right? Get out the editing machine and go to work on me. You can't simply talk me into rejecting the evidence I've seen with my own eyes.
Tom, you were under drugs all the time.
I've never taken drugs, except for what I ate in the meadows when I danced. And that came after I had watched the massacre for weeks and weeks. Are you saying that it's a retroactive delusion?
No, Tom. You've had this delusion all along. It's part of your therapy, part of your reconstruct. You came here programmed with it.
That's impossible.
It was done to reconcile you to mankind, you see. You had this terrible resentment of the displacement of your people in the 19th century. You were unable to forgive the industrial society for what they did to your people, your family. And you were terribly full of hate. Your therapist thought that if you could be made to participate in an imaginary modern extermination, if you could come to see it as a necessary operation, you'd be purged of your resentment and able to take your place in society as a productive, vital human being.
Don't talk idiocy. If you knew the first thing about reconstruct therapy, you'd realize that no reputable therapist could be so shallow. There are no one-to-one correlations in reconstructs.
Tom, darling, please.
No. Don't touch me. Keep away from me. Just keep away.
Look here, old man.
I won't let you persuade me that this is a fantasy or a therapy of some kind.
What can we do then?
Let me go.
Where?
Back to be with my brothers. Again, I dance. The sun is much hotter today. The ears are more numerous. Today I wear paint and feathers. My body shines with my sweat. The eaters dance with me, and they have a frenzy in them that I have never seen before. We pound the trampled meadow with our feet. We clutch for the sun with our hands. We sing, we shout, we cry. We will dance until we fall. This is no fantasy. These people are real. And they are intelligent, and they are doomed. This I know. And we dance. Despite the doom, we dance. My great-grandfather comes and dances with us. He too is real. His nose is like a hawk's. Not blunt like mine. And he wears the big headdress, and his muscles are like cords under his brown skin. He sings, he shouts, he cries. Others of my family begin to join us. We eat the oxygen plants together. We embrace the eaters. We know, all of us, what it is to be hunted. The clouds make music and the wind takes on texture and the sun's warmth has color. We dance. We dance. Our limbs know no weariness. The sun grows and fills the sky and I see no eaters now. Only my own people. My father's fathers across the centuries. Thousands of gleaming skins. Thousands of hawk noses, and we eat the plants, and we find sharp sticks and thrust them into our flesh, and the sweet blood flows and dries in the blaze of the sun. And we dance, and some of us fall from weariness, but we continue the dance. And the prairie is a sea of bobbing headdresses, an ocean of feathers, and we dance, and my heart makes thunder, and my knees become water, and the sun's fire engulfs me, and I dance, and I fall, and I dance, and I fall.
Here, darling, the suction cap on your arm will drain the oxygen plant drug from your veins.
And here's a shot that will help you rest.
Rest, old man.
That's what you need.
And so I rest and am very calm. Ellen kisses me and I stroke her soft skin. The others come and try to talk to me, but I do not listen. I am too busy searching for realities.
What's it like, Tom?
It's like falling through many trap doors, looking for the one room whose floor is not hinged. Everything that has happened on this planet is my therapy.
You see?
You see?
You see?
Nothing is really being exterminated here. This is the therapy of my friends. They have carried the weight of accumulated centuries of guilt and have come here to shed that load.
You're here to ease us of our burden, to draw our sins into yourself and give us forgiveness.
Again, I fall through and see that the eaters are mere animals who threaten the ecology and must therefore be removed.
The culture you imagined for them is your hallucination, kindled of ancient angers.
So you must withdraw your objections to the necessary extermination of the eaters.
But instead, I fall through. There is no extermination except in my mind. I must sit up now and apologize to my friends, these innocent scientists whom I have called murderers.
And you fall through.
You fall through.
You fall through.
I fall through.
That which seems real is real. What we do, we've already done. True? Of course. But then again, maybe not. The doors keep opening and we continue falling through them until another door opens and we fall through that one. One thing is certain, and that is this. It is impossible to be certain of anything in a world where reality is often just a matter of opinion. The only thing to do then is sing and dance to the sun. Our cast featured Charles Carroll as Tom Two Ribbons, Mark Walders as Herndon, Wirt Kane as Michaels, and Nance Williamson as Ellen. The original story Sundance was written by Robert Silverberg and adapted for Sci-Fi Radio by Clay Charles Brown. Our director was John O. Williams. All music and sound effects were created by Ron DiIulio. The series producers are Kevin Singer and Ron DiIulio. Support for this program has been provided by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is James Edward Kerr inviting you to join me soon for our next venture into the imaginary worlds of sci-fi radio.